The book of 2 Samuel chapter 6 is where we will continue our study of worship this morning. 2 Samuel chapter 6 and verse 12. Today we're going to hopefully put the joy back into worship. And you know, there should be joy in worship. Sometimes we come and we forget that and we just kind of sit there with our frowns and let a worship service pass us by. But we kind of do that in life in general, period, you know. Instead of stopping and celebrating and counting the blessings and having joy in what an awesome God we serve, you know, we just kind of let life pass us by. Well, today I want to remind you, there's joy, or there should be joy in worship. We stand as we read from the Word of God, 2 Samuel chapter 6, begin reading in verse 12. Now it was told King David, saying, "The Lord has blessed the house of Obed-Edom and all that belongs to him because of the ark of God." So David went and brought up the ark of God from the house of Obed-Edom to the city of David with gladness. And so it was, when those bearing the ark of the Lord had gone 6 paces, that he sacrificed oxen and fatted sheep. Then David danced before the Lord with all his might. And David was wearing a linen ephod. So David and all his house, or all the house of Israel, brought up the ark of the Lord with shouting and with the sound of the trumpet. Now as the ark of the Lord came into the city of David, Michal, the Saul's daughter, looked through a window and saw King David leaping and whirling before the Lord. And she despised him in her heart. So they brought the ark of the Lord and set it in its place in the midst of the tabernacle that David had erected for it. Then David offered burnt offerings and peace offerings before the Lord. And when David had finished offering burnt offerings and peace offerings, he blessed the people in the name of the Lord. Then he distributed among all the people, among the whole multitude of Israel, both women and men, to everyone a loaf of bread and a piece of meat and a cake of raisins. So all the people departed, everyone to his house. Then David returned to bless his household. Then Michal, the daughter of Saul, came out to meet David and said, "How glorious was the king of Israel today, uncovering himself today in the eyes of the maids of his servants, as one of those base fellows who shamelessly uncovers himself." So David said to Michal, "It was before the Lord who chose me instead of your father and all his house to appoint me ruler over the people of the Lord, over Israel. Therefore, I will play music before the Lord, and I will be even more undignified than this, and will be humble in my own sight. But as for the maidservants of whom you have spoken, by them I will be held in honor." Therefore, Michal, the daughter of Saul, had no children to the day of her death. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Our Father in heaven, truly it is good to worship you today. We're glad for the opportunity that you have laid before us. And Lord, help us to take full advantage of this opportunity of worship. Lord, so often we just let this life pass us by without stopping to count our blessings, without stopping to praise you and honor you as God, knowing, Lord, that every good thing comes from above. So today I pray that, Lord, you would open your word to everyone present. Open our minds, open our hearts. Give us ears to hear, eyes to see. And help us, Lord, to worship and to celebrate your goodness toward us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. In the opening verses, we read, or we didn't read, but before we began reading today, the first part of this chapter, if you go back and read that, you'll find that Israel and David, led by David, had attempted to bring the Ark of the Covenant back to Jerusalem one time before, and they had had trouble in that they didn't do it the right way. And so they went and they placed the Ark of the Covenant in a new cart, it says. And they were pulling it with oxen. And along the way, the ox pulling the cart stumbled. And a man named Uzzah put his hand up there to steady the ark. And he touched the ark, which was, don't you do that. Okay? That was strictly forbidden by God. So as soon as he touched the ark and steadied it, God struck him dead. Upset the whole congregation. David was even angry for that event. And so with that, they left it at a nearby man's home. And they just basically said, we can't do it. And they left. But then now word has gotten back to David. Hey, Obed-Edom, that we left the Ark of the Covenant. That man has had the Ark for 3 months. And he has been blessed in everything that he does. And so it reminds David, hey, we need that Ark of the Covenant in Jerusalem where it belongs. And so he goes back out and he retrieves the Ark and he retrieves it the right way, according to God's direction. And as they're going along, the thing that really stands out that characterizes this caravan that's transporting the Ark is joy, gladness, celebration. They're shouting. Trumpets are sounding. David is dancing. Now that's joy. Have you got that kind of joy? I mean, wouldn't you like to leave here today knowing I have been in the presence of Almighty God and I've praised Him and He's received my praise? Well, how can we do that? Well, we follow David's example. David, number one, was a contributor, not a consumer. David was a contributor, not a consumer. And if you want to have joy, you have to adopt this mentality. I'm going to contribute, not consume. See, David at this point, David is king. He is the man of Israel. And he could have ordered his servants to go get the ark while he remained at home doing king stuff. He had priests. He could have told the priest to go get the ark while he remained home doing king stuff. But David did not have everybody else go do this for him. He went himself and was part of the process. Because he was not a consumer. He was a contributor. And that is the key, one of the great keys of worship today. See, let's be honest. You want to be honest today? Raise your hand if you want to be honest. All right. Everybody wants to be honest. Most of the time when we come to a worship service, we come to be blessed, not to worship. Don't we? We come with an expectation of, okay, I'm here to be blessed, whether it be by the message, by the songs, or by your Sunday school teacher. Whatever the case may be, we come to be blessed instead of focusing, we come to instead with the mindset of, I come to give, not to get. You see, that's one of people's great escapes of why they don't attend church. I've heard it over and over. Well, I just don't get anything out of it. You want church to be meaningful? Quit trying to get out of it and start giving to it. That's where it becomes a joy. Start contributing. And I'm not talking about money. I'm talking about serving. That's where the joy has gone in churches today. People come as though it's a concert or some kind of benefit speech giving. And no, that's not who we are. We are here to honor and to glorify our great God. And that is not just dependent upon me or Brother Dale. It is dependent upon every individual that's in this congregation this morning. And you will find the more involved that you are, the more you get out of a service. But I want to share something else with you. I'm talking not only what we do in here, but I'm talking about what we do out there. Do you know everybody's... One of the reasons people lack joy in their faith is because they do not have a ministry. And they don't understand why, something's missing and I don't get it. What's your ministry? How are you serving? Did you know serving is worship? It is. There are a lot of people who are inactive and they don't understand why God is not moving in their life. Why is He going to move when you're not doing anything with it? You will not have the joy, whether it's in a worship service or whether it's in your life, until your ministry is active. And I want to tell you this, okay? I'm coming for you. If you're a member of Victory Missionary Baptist Church, in the coming year, I've made it my personal goal to help you find your ministry here at Victory. And there are some of you I'll leave alone. Because there are some of you serving and just doing a wonderful job. I'm not going to mess with you. Just keep it up, okay? But I'm talking about those who aren't really serving. And I want you to know, I'm not coming after you because I'm going to get you. I'm coming after you because I want you to know the joy of serving the Lord. That's where that's where Victory becomes your church home. That's where you back up after you've served. And for example, when you teach a class, a children's class, and you see a child come to know Jesus Christ as their Savior, that does something to you. I can't explain what it does to you, but it does something to you in a good way. But see, there's a lot of people that don't know those joys. So, you're on notice. And I say that with love. But you are on notice. I'm coming for you. I'm coming to help. Because I want you to know the joy of the Lord. Okay? Because you have to be a contributor and not just a consumer. Number two, second thing David did. David knew when to start and he knew when to stop. I love this. You know, they have gone and they're going to get the ark. And it says that the Levites are carrying the ark on their shoulder. And they take six steps and they stop. It doesn't sound very far, does it? They stop and it says they offered sacrifices before they took that seventh step. And I read stuff like that always catches my attention. And it makes me wonder, now why did they do that? Well, I'll be honest with you. What I think the reason that they did that and what everybody else... Everybody has an opinion. And my opinion doesn't seem to agree with anybody else's opinion. So I'm going to give you mine because I'm preaching today, right? But six is the number of man. We know that according to Scripture. Seven is the number of completion. Perfection. It's the number of God. You see, they start out and the Levites put that ark of covenant on their shoulder, carrying it between poles, and they take six steps. And I think that represents man's participation. You see, and as I told you before, they tried this before and they didn't get very far because they did it wrong. Now this time, they take it up, take their sixth step that they've signifying their contribution. And before they take that seventh step, they offer to God. Why? Because they're not going to be able to make this journey if God does not empower them to make this journey. Do you know, even when you're serving the Lord, you still have to have God's power to serve God? It's God that sees you through it. And that's what, I'll be honest with you, that's what we as servants forget a lot of times. We think we're doing our part and we're serving the Lord faithfully. But every once in a while, you just got to stop and you got to honor God as God and seek His contribution to your ministry. Does that make sense? Because even when we're doing everything right, we can't do it. There are many in churches is today and I'm not meaning to throw stones, I'm meaning to make you think. But there are many in church who are working faithfully and tirelessly and doing a great job. So much so that you never see them in church. Brother Doug, that doesn't make sense. Oh, yes, it does. There are people who serve and never come in here and worship. Okay? Not because they don't want to, but because they don't have that opportunity. And I want to remind you, if you are in that category, that it is needful for you to stop your work every once in a while. You've taken your six steps. It's time to stop your work, put your work down, and come and honor God as God. Because if you take the next step, it will be by the power of God and by the grace of God. Sometime you just got to refill your tank. Preachers are the world's worst about that. I'll be honest with you. You know? Oftentimes we work, and it's all about getting that Sunday message ready. And I'll be honest with you, there have been times in my life, and I have to remind myself constantly, there are times in my life I forget to have God time because I'm studying to preach on Sunday. Does that make sense? And it's real easy to get there. I've got a message to preach this Sunday and Sunday night, and here comes Wednesday, and I got to preach on Wednesday, and we're starting Wednesday night Bible study, by the way. Praise the Lord. I'm ready to get back to that. But see, I just want to tell you what happens to me is I get to that point where I'm serving so much that I forget to just stop and say, God, I can't do this. I've got to honor you, and you have to empower me to do what you've called me to do. You see, the wise worshiper knows that there must be frequent intervals where you stop and seek that spiritual revival. Because every time you serve, your tank gets a little more empty. You serve, and your tank gets a little more empty. You serve and tank gets a little more empty. And ultimately what happens, you get to that point of burnout where you say, okay, I'm going to do this and I'll keep on doing it, but because nobody else will. You ever done that? Some of you have. I've got to do this because nobody else will. No, you don't. No, you don't. If nobody else will, shut that ministry down for a couple of weeks and you come to worship. And that might open some eyes. You've got to be a regular part, you've got to worship regularly, or you'll burn out. You see, oftentimes in churches, we're so guilty, and we find somebody says, "Yes, I'll serve. Yes, I'll fill that position." And we say, "More power to you. Here you go. Here's your position." And we let them go and we don't support them. You know what I'm talking about? It's their responsibility now. You teach that class. 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 Every Sunday, you teach that class. You teach that class. And it's your responsibility. Church elected you to do it. And we ride that pony until that pony just breaks down and can't take it anymore. No. See, you've got to be wise enough as you serve. First part was you got to serve. But the second part is you got to be wise enough as you serve to put her down every once in a while and just praise God. Because it's going to take God to bring you to the point of completion, to see that ministry through. You got to know when to start. You got to know when to stop. Number three, David danced before the Lord. I like this part. Sometimes you just got to dance, right? Every now and then you just got to dance. And you got to understand what dance means. Listen, David was not gyrating to Sweet Home Alabama. I don't know. I had to use that song because I don't know what they sing anymore. You know, that was back in my day. All right. But David wasn't gyrating to the rock and roll of his day. That word dance, it literally means to celebrate and jump and whirl. And instead of some kind of nightclub dance like comes to most people's mind, David is celebrating. He's jumping. He's shouting. They're blowing trumpets. And yes, he's spinning around. Why? Because the Ark of God is coming back into Jerusalem where it belongs. And it's got him fired up. Oh, he's happy. He's celebrating before God. And don't we need to get that back in our churches today? I mean, there was a day. You remember the day when people shouted. When there was amens and hallelujahs and glory to God, and we picked up those songbooks and we just opened up and let her fly. You remember that day? What has happened? We've forgotten to celebrate. We just have to stop and celebrate the blessings every once in a while. The way that we look, you would think, oftentimes the way we come to church, you'd think none of us are blessed. If you're sitting here today and you think, I don't have anything to be thankful for, I'll give you one right off the bat. You're here. Glory to God, we live in the United States of America. And listen, we have our problems, but it's still not illegal to go to church at this point. That's a blessing. Well, it's not illegal in Arkansas to go to church at this point. I'll rephrase that. If it ever is in Arkansas, start a jail ministry because that's where your pastor's going to wind up, okay? I'm coming to church. I'm coming to church. I'm coming to church. I just want you to stop and see the blessings. You got children? Let's face it, sometimes children are a pain in the neck. But aren't they a blessing? Aren't they a blessing? Oh, my goodness. I thank the Lord for every one of my kids. They're all moved out, glory to God, and living on their own. But I love every one of them. And every one of them's a blessing of God. I believe in the Scripture, you know, blessed is the man whose quiver is full. Oh, I love them. I love my children. Love my grandchildren. I look around. I love my church family. You're a blessing to this pastor. You know that? And I thank God for every single person here. To the youngest, or from the youngest to the oldest. College students. Business professionals. Day laborers. For everyone in this church family, I praise God for you. Because it is a joy to see your face every week. You got something to be thankful for? I want to share something else. We as a church, God has been good to Victory. And I can talk about somebody because they're not here. But I'm going to talk about them in a good way. I want to tell you what God has done for Victory. Last 2 months ago, or 2 months ago at a business meeting, the finance committee recommended that we allocate $200,000 toward paying off the church debt. Which I thought that was wonderful. That left us owing about $49,000. And we lost a good church member. We didn't lose him. We had a good church member go to heaven. And this good church member, his name was Jim Glover. And he was ready to go to heaven. But while he was still on earth, he said, I want to be a blessing to my church. And in his will, his estate, he left $50,000 to Victory Missionary Baptist Church. We got that check this week. $50,000. Remember what I told you the church owed? $49,000 to pay this church off completely debt-free. Glory to God. I don't know if Miss Ruby has written the check yet, but she's fixing to. And this church is about to be debt-free for the first time, I know, in at least 10 years. That's God. That's God. And that's what I want you to just at this point stop and realize, wow, we're blessed. Everywhere we look, we're blessed. Because see, if you don't stop and count those blessings, you're not going to be able to have joy in those blessings. And if you don't have joy, you certainly will not celebrate. Oh, David danced before the Lord with all his might. Why? Because he was so full of the fact that they were bringing that Ark of the Covenant back to Jerusalem. He was so full of the blessings of God, that was the only way he could get it out. Today we should be full. Looking around at the blessings. And celebrating those blessings before our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Fourth thing. David was undignified. I love this part. It says, David wore a linen ephod. Now, that was a priestly garment. And what it amounts to is he took off his king's robe and he put on a priestly linen ephod, making him a servant of the Lord in this journey. And he's the same as saying, as he takes off that king's robe and puts on the priestly garment, he's saying, Lord, you're the king. King of kings and Lord of lords, that's all you. And I'm your servant. And not only was he willing to humble himself and take off that king's robe and put on the priest's garment, again, he leaped and danced and whirled around and he wasn't concerned with what everybody else thought. As a matter of fact, his wife really gave him down the road. I mean, she scolded him. Verse 20, she said, how glorious was the king today, uncover himself in the eyes of the maids and of his servants. You just see that woman. She's giving him what for, you know? But I love David's response. He looked at her and he said, it was before the Lord. Meaning, I wasn't dancing for you. I wasn't dancing for the servants. I wasn't dancing for the people. I was dancing for the glory of God. And furthermore, God has chosen me to be king over all of Israel. And He chose me over your father Saul. And furthermore... He just keeps on going. He says, I will be even more undignified in this. He's saying, baby, you ain't seen nothing yet. Don't you like that attitude? He didn't care. He wasn't coming before the Lord maintaining his dignity. You know, straight-laced and all proper. All that went out the window as he celebrates and honors God. You see, I'm reminded that for worship to really be worship, we've got to lay aside who we are or who we think we are and honor God as God. You see, we think we have this image to uphold. And I'll be honest with you, preachers are the world's worst. You know, preachers are supposed to act like preachers. We act a certain way because it's expected of us. But I think preachers are not the only ones that do that. We all do. But I'm reminded there are times when I have to lay aside being a pastor. Being this pastor that's, you know, a man of dignity. Don't get me wrong. I don't want everybody to look at me and say, what a fool. But there are times I've got to lay all that down and just honor God because He's God. And He's so much higher and greater and wiser and mightier than I am that in His, you know, when you compare who I am to who He is, there is no comparison. I just need to honor Him as God. Don't take this the wrong way. But every once in a while, and I love it when this happens, I love being a pastor. I love being the pastor of this church. But every once in a while, I'm given the blessing of going to a church where they don't know who I am. And I'm just another worshiper there. And I want to tell you, that's good stuff. And like I say, I love being a pastor. I'm doing what God called me to do. I'm doing what I want to do. But every once in a while, it's good for me just to go somewhere and worship God because He is God. That's my challenge to you. As we focus in the coming days on worship, you know, quit worrying about what people think. Quit worrying about if somebody's going to hear me sing in front of you. Listen, if the person in front of you can't hear you sing, God probably can't hear you sing either. Oh, Brother Doug, God knows my heart. He does. He knows why you're not singing out, too. And I'll be honest with you. If your song offends the person sitting in front of you, they can move. But you praise the Lord. Okay? The Lord laid it on your heart to make a commitment or to come to the altar. Don't worry about everybody that's looking and what you're afraid of, you know. I wonder what he's done this week. He's going to the altar. If they're that biased, just forget them. Worship is between you and God. You know? The challenge is let's just worship the Lord. Let's pour out our praise. Lay aside our dignity. Have that celebratory attitude. Willing to stop even our very service. And go before God and honor Him as God. That's the goal of worship. You may be here today and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior. Listen, you've got to know God before you can worship Him, okay? Let me introduce you to the Son of God. His name is Jesus Christ, and He came to this earth and lived a perfect and sinless life. And died upon the cross of Calvary, all because you have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's how Jesus feels about you. Jesus loves you. He doesn't love your sin. He wants to deliver you from your sin. Okay? Jesus came. He died He was crucified upon the cross of Calvary, taking your sin debt upon Himself and paying for your sin. And now today, Jesus offers you salvation, forgiveness, taking your sins and casting them as far as east is from the west. I want you to stop just a minute and think about that. How many of us have sinned? Okay? How many of us have done some pretty bad stuff? I want you to think for a moment. And I want you to think of the worst thing that you've ever done. You don't have to tell it. I don't want you to tell anybody. This is between you and God right now. I want you to think of the worst thing you've ever done. The Bible is the Word of God. The Word of God says, we'll confess our sin. He's faithful and just to forgive us our sin. That includes the worst thing that you have ever done in your life. The Bible says that He takes that sin and casts it as far as east is from the west. There are people here today living with the guilt of past sin. I want to tell you how to get rid of the guilt. Okay? Take it before God, confessing to God that sin, and asking His forgiveness. And He will cast it far as east is from the west, away from you. That means, in God's eyes, you no longer carry guilt. What happens to that sin? It's placed upon Jesus Christ, who paid for that sin upon the cross of Calvary. You see, forgiveness starts and stops at Calvary. You don't have to live your life with guilt. You don't do it. Don't do it. Satan keeps it, and he keeps it ever before you, and it's in the back of your mind, and you're carrying it, and nobody else knows, but you know. The good news is you don't have to carry it anymore. If you're lost, come to Jesus today asking His forgiveness. And if you're saved, deal with that sin once and for all. Okay? Bring it to Jesus. You say, oh, Brother Doug, but people still, they'll point fingers. Listen, you're not here to serve people. You're here to serve God. And I want to tell you, it doesn't really matter what people think of you. It matters what God thinks of you. Okay? So today, take advantage of the love of God who paid your sin debt upon the cross of Calvary. If you're saved, remember, take advantage. Bring that sin before God that's haunting you and leave it at Calvary. Let Jesus heal and restore you. Our Father in heaven, we thank you, Lord, for the opportunity of worship. We thank you, Lord, for the sacrifice that you made upon the cross of Calvary. And we thank you that your word says that if we'll call upon you for salvation, you will save us. But Lord, we're thankful that even after salvation, that we have a way to deal with our sin and our failures. The glorious news is that we don't have to carry the guilt. Your word says there is now therefore no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. And so, Lord, I pray that we'll all be able to leave here today not carrying guilt of sin anymore. For those who need to be saved, I pray they'll come forward. For those who need to deal with sin, I pray they'll come forward. For those who, Lord, just need to pray for others who are lost, I pray that they'll use the altar. I pray that Lord, at this point in the service, this is our time to commune and to fellowship with you in worship. And I pray that we'll do that very thing. And ultimately, I pray your will be done. In Jesus' name, amen.